Hi, this is Paloma.
And this is Rachel.
And this is Good Girls Don't.
And welcome back.
And welcome back. I don't think you know what you're in for tonight.
Sorry, guys.
It could very well be a grumpathon.
I think it is 100% guaranteed to be a grumpathon. Yeah. So a note, like before, a couple weeks ago, we were like, what's going to happen with our podcast after the election? How are we going to handle?
It's going to be so boring.
It's
going to
be so boring.
President.
What are we going to talk about? I mean, other than, just making sure that things stay on track. But there's not going to be as much drama to worry about.
There will be no struggle for material.
Yeah, was on us.
But I know, but here's the problem, though. Now I'm concerned that our material is going to be this mean, mad, funny.
Hey, I'm okay with mean, mad, funny. I'm not okay with the reason why we're here, but...
I know.
I'm okay with being mad and mean and catty as shit about certain things.
All right. Yeah. Well,
game
on.
That note,
well, okay, then let's just talk about it.
All right.
Why did Hillary lose?
Sometimes I think the bigger question is, why did Trump win?
I don't know. I don't know, though, because it seems to me that should have never even been an issue. Like, I cannot understand how she did not win.
I can't understand how he was not immediately just sort of disqualified from the national sort of, like, why anybody took him seriously from the very beginning when his first day of his candidacy said, that Mexico sends over its drug dealers and rapists. And then, a few weeks later, there's the videotape of him mocking the disabled reporter. I mean, I feel like any other candidate, that would have just put a nail in the coffin. But with a field of, 15 GOP nominees during the primary, he just kept. And at that point, I don't think it has to do with Hillary. I feel like it has to do with something else.
No, at that point, it did not
have
to do with
Hillary. So how did he keep advancing in that?
Well, there's a lot of reasons. But actually, let's talk about Hillary first.
Okay,
because I think...
Fine.
I know. Because I feel like... the way I've heard it stated best is it was a populist election and she was an elitist candidate. I feel like it was a change election. People wanted something different, and she kind of has been the staple in Washington for 30 years.
I get that.
And not popular.
And I do think that there's something to be said for, there's this sort of reasoning that, Obama had been in office for 8 years, and typically when you have an administration of a certain party or certain platform or ideal, that sort of rides out that 8-year platform, that then people... there's a wave of we want to change for whatever reasons.
Yes.
And Hillary was at, in the wrong place at the wrong time. I mean, yeah, I guess to some degree you would call her an elitist candidate because she'd been in Washington for a long time. I mean, she's not any more elitist than Donald Trump in the sense of...
Well, no, but nobody knows that because he did pander to those people. Here's my question.
Well,
we do know
that he's an elitist.
No, did I say we don't know that?
Yeah.
No,
yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry, but, well, no, the people that voted for him don't know that is what I'm saying.
I guess technically
you
they don't, except for the part where he's really rich and likes to tell everybody that he's really rich. I mean,
yes. But he likes to say that he's rich because he, cheated the man kind of thing.
Yeah, I feel like I'm just going to be speechless. I'm still processing a lot of things.
I'm still in shock phase. I've not been angry. I've been scared and I've been in shock. I have not been angry yet.
I have been angry, scared, anxious, sad. All of those things all at once, pretty much. I think the first night and the first day I was just heartbroken with the outcome.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, it felt like a breakup.
Yeah, and it did. And then by the weekend, I just started to get angry as things started to kind of fall into place with his quasi-administration. And it just seemed like, this is going to be the craziest shit show that I've ever seen in my entire life. And so far, it's playing out that way.
Yes, it is. But why do you think Hillary lost? What do you think?
I think it's a variety of reasons. I think she didn't resonate with certain voters. Obviously, there are people who voted for Obama that didn't vote for her, that perhaps certain segments of the voting population didn't feel like she could offer them something, or maybe she was promising them things that Obama promised that they didn't get, and it's that change thing, or maybe they saw her as elitist, or maybe some people were sexist about it for other people. I mean, I think that there are so many reasons. There's certainly the Bernie factor. She wasn't as liberal as he is, but I don't think that any one reason was the main reason for her losing. I think there was a lot of media propaganda that we've kind of come to exist in the society where the facts really seem sort of irrelevant.
Because
untruths are just propagated. You know, it's kind of bizarre to me. And even post-election, I feel like we're seeing that even more or just as much. And so it feels like this kind of scary new-ish world. Like, it's a world we've been living in, but now it feels even more real where untruths can be lies. Lies can be...
Well, yes, and things that are actually on tape where someone said they grabbed someone in the pussy doesn't really matter.
It doesn't matter. I mean, and that has nothing... I mean, I don't know. I know that people... I know, and I'm not saying you are. I know a lot of people want to put the blame squarely on Hillary, and I think that there's some fault with the type of campaigning that her campaign did, but I don't think it's the only reason that she lost the election. I mean, she won the popular vote, so you're looking at... Trump won the electoral vote with votes concentrated in certain really conservative states. So if you're looking at she won a bigger percentage of the popular vote than anybody besides Obama in history. It's hard to just say, well, it's her fault because of this. I just feel like there's trying to reduce it to one answer doesn't get at an answer.
No, that's true. Well, but why do you think Donald Trump won, though?
I think there we have the populist vote. There, I think we have people who feel disenfranchised, who felt like this was the change that they were. I think that the votes that he got, for some people, it was an economic thing. You know, they saw what they think is a successful businessman. We don't know if he really is or not, on paper. I think there's certainly... some racist factions that come into it, and I'm sure some sexist factions as well, but I think the racism maybe wins out over the sexism in this case.
You think like post-Obama racism?
Post-Obama, post just modern multiculturalism, which Obama sort of epitomized, you know, the first African-American president. I think Obama was sort of the result of our culture becoming more multiculturalist, and which a lot of people do not like. And I think Trump capitalized on that anti-multiculturalist sentiment, which is a mouthful, but I think he really capitalized on people who feel disenfranchised. So there's a whole bunch of different people who feel disenfranchised for various reasons. And Hillary is one, whatever Hillary represents is part of that reason. But
do you think she was the best candidate for the job, though? Do you think she was the best candidate for this election?
I still do. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's fine.
I know you don't agree with me.
I know I don't. I mean, obviously, she wasn't.
I don't think Bernie would have necessarily won against him.
We will never know. No. And that's not the answer to it. The answer is, though, that she was really unpopular and their campaign just...
She was really unpopular, but she still won a huge percentage of the popular vote.
She did, but wasn't it? It's still like what Bobby told me, and I don't know the numbers, and maybe I shouldn't even be repeating this, but the same amount of Republican voters, when you're looking at the popular vote, came out to vote. Mm-hmm. But the amount, the Democrats just didn't turn out for her. People were not excited for her.
I don't know the exact breakdown of numbers on that. I do know that nearly half of the eligible voters just didn't show up one way or the other, regardless of where their allegiances, you know, fell. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I have a huge problem with somebody who is concerned about the outcome in this country and then just doesn't show up.
Yeah, that's...
I mean, I'm just sort of flummoxed.
That's very
fair.
Well, so, and then to be honest, I was surprised that Gary Johnson got as many votes as he did. I don't think that those were taken from Hillary necessarily. There was one state, I forget what state, but where Jill Stein did actually lose the election for her. And that was just one state.
Yeah.
I didn't actually notice that anywhere else. But the thing that irritates me so much about the Green Party is like, I feel like they do stand for a lot of good things, the things that you know
absolutely.
That they stand for.
Absolutely.
But the thing is you can't just show up every 4 years with some wacky candidate and then not show up anywhere else. You know what? You have to start showing up in Senate. You have to start showing up in other places.
Local
Your
races,
party needs to show its face.
State and local races, right. You need to be a presence. You need to introduce yourself to the voters at large and talk about what your party stands for and why your party is a better choice. And Jill Stein, at least, at the very least, I think Jill Stein was an awful candidate for the Green Party. I mean, you want to talk about somebody who is a divider, somebody who does not know how to unify voters. I may not have voted for Bernie in the primary, but I think Bernie is a good candidate, and I feel like he was good at bridging divides between people, and Jill Stein seemed to be hell-bent on creating more divides between people and being self-righteous and just angry and smug about her vote, and angry mm-hmm. and smug like right up till the very end with how she approached campaigning. And it's like,
but didn't she even have some sort of pro-Trump sentiment at the end?
Yeah.
Come on.
So it's like, what do you stand for? At least, you know, at least Bernie, it's like the greater good. Let's all talk about what we're in this together. And even though, you know, he and Hillary disagreed on a lot of things, they still, I would think that the Green Party would be more aligned with the Democrats than with the Republicans.
They should
you
be.
Would think.
Yeah.
So it's pretty, because to me, it just feels, on the part of the Green Party, it just feels very self-serving. It's like, yes, who are you there for?
Absolutely.
Are you there for the people, or are you there for whatever particular self-interest that you have? And if it's the latter, I have no respect for that.
Exactly. The thing about the Trump administration and how it's forming, there has never been a time in my life where I thought I would be so relieved to hear that Mitt Romney is a possibility.
God.
I was like, I don't know what it was, but my heart just like a little bit of the weight just kind of lifted off of it for a second. Like, oh, somebody who might be sane. Because none of those people are, I'm not going to agree with any of them, but at least I think he's rational and doesn't want the world to end.
Right. Like, Mitt Romney, I can't even believe that I would ever say this, but Mitt Romney is like the grown-up in the room.
Yes.
Who knows that you don't just get drunk and party till you shoot out the lights and let the chips fall where they may,
yeah,
even if the chips are nuclear, you know, codes that are activated. Because he really is like, and again, it's like, I disagree with fundamentally
everything,
so much of what he stands for. And up until, you know, like 4 years ago, I would have been like, he's a crazy guy. I mean, he is, to a degree, but he's not crazy.
Well, yeah, but when we're talking about like the future of our nation and we're talking about degrees of crazy,
right,
I'm okay with his crazy where he's at right now.
His degree of crazy is just sort of like my crazy relative crazy, where I'm not actually scared of him. And like, I disagree and I worry about what his policies would put into place, but I don't look at him the way that I look at Steve Bannon, a white nationalist, and just kind of like...
They're white supremacists. They're not white nationalists. I think we all
Well,
need to...
there are weird... I don't even know if this is the place to get into it, but there are weird semantics that divide those words.
So
white nationalist is like more of like a white separatist, like they want to create a different state for white people, mm-hmm, but they don't necessarily want to let me say this in quotation marks, they don't necessarily want to kill people who are not white.
Oh, they just want them all to die.
They just want them all
disappear
away from them. They just want them to be away from them. It's just as reprehensible.
What am I? Because I want most people to be away from me.
Right.
What does that mean?
You're just a separatist
yeah,
in
okay.
general. Yeah. You know, okay, so yeah, white, and I get really mad at the way the mainstream media covers it. It's like, we've gotten into this habit of calling it the alt-right. It's like, no, let's call it what it is. And
yeah,
and they've gotten in this habit of saying somebody who sympathizes with alt-right or white nationalist views. It's like, no, there's no sympathy there. That's actually what he does.
Well, so one thing I do feel, and this is where I feel like a lot of the Trump rise to power came from, is I do feel like white males specifically have been villainized in our culture,
mm-hmm,
for a while now, I would say. And for me, I don't feel like that is unity. I feel like if we're going, I don't, that is not the path to me. Like,
mm-hmm,
you know, I don't know, like Bobby, for instance, does Bobby need to take on the past 200 years of our country and be demonized for that? No, he doesn't. Bobby does everything he can to be a good person and treat people well.
Mm-hmm.
So I do feel like part of that villainizing of white males has kind of led to this, or planted a seed or started it, where people started to feel disenfranchised. People who really aren't disenfranchised actually do feel disenfranchised because they're like, well, I'm a white guy. People hate me.
Mm-hmm.
And not that this is a good thing or right. I'm just saying that.
I mean,
that's
I guess I
happened.
Agree to some degree. I don't think that there should be a blanket vilification of your basic white guy. I mean, that's just ludicrous. And I mean, it happens. It does happen. And white men of a certain economic class or whatever, for sure, get demonized and villainized and told that, you know, they should just shut up and sit down, and you know, they don't get to have a seat at the table anymore. And I don't agree with that. I do hope that white.
Sorry, my daughter is downstairs going crazy right now.
She is going crazy right now. I do hope that the majority of just people in general, that we all stop to think about what our role is in this society. And because I try to think about my role as a white woman, middle class white woman in society, like what kind of privilege do I have? What kind of assumptions do I have that I'm not even aware of? And it's kind of a daily lesson to me. And I think some days I do better at it than other days. And I've seen things sort of, you know, blanket statements made about just white middle class women that I could look at as being demonizing or vilifying. And I try, sometimes it stings, but sometimes I try to just use it to examine myself a little bit deeper. I don't always succeed, for sure. I don't think that we should just put a blanket statement over and just say all white guys are bad. I don't think that. I don't think that a white guy hearing that should use that as an excuse to say, therefore I feel like I'm being demonized and I'm going to try and take something away from somebody else.
No, and I understand exactly what you're saying, but I'm just, and I'm not, these aren't necessarily my thoughts, like the way I would feel or how I would handle things, but what I'm saying is a person that is poor in, let's say, Detroit or something, like this white guy who doesn't have a job because whatever happened.
Yeah.
He's poor. His life sucks. And then he hears that he's the bad guy. His reaction is going to be, F you. No, I'm not. Like, do you know what I'm dealing with? Mm-hmm. That kind of thing. And so I think it's people like that who have kind of sprouted up all over. And that's not right. I'm just saying how I think that
happened. So what do you think
happened.
The solution is?
Well, I think we need to focus on unity and I don't know what the solution is.
Just asking.
But I'm like,
you wanted me to solve
the
Hillary problem.
I'm telling you where the problems came from.
I want you to figure
from.
Out the answer to everything else is.
No, it's not happening. But I think the millennials, I've got to be honest with you, I feel like the millennials are going to kind of change things. I think they have a different way of viewing things. I think they mm-hmm. have a different way of viewing race relations. And actually, I've read some things out too. They view race relations, they're so colorblind as a fault. And that's kind of what's created this mm-hmm. problem with some white male millennials, is they were raised to not see color.
Mm-hmm.
But then these things exist. Like, they're not going away just because these millennials are coming up and they don't see color. Like, are problems that exist in the world. Gosh, I'm not making sense anymore.
That's because none of this makes
sense. I know.
Sense.
What's so funny, because I had this one thought, but then these 50 other thoughts came
that's
in.
Been,
and
that's called the last 10 days, Paloma.
Well, and also, don't ask me to solve the world's problems just like right now, okay?
Well, you
I only need 10 minutes.
You wanted me to explain exactly why Hillary lost this for everybody, why we should put the weight of it all on her shoulders, on her pantsuited shoulders,
The thing is, I don't dislike Hillary. That's not... I don't dislike Hillary. I just don't think she was the right person for this election.
And I disagree with you. Honestly, I think with the Donald Trump machine, I don't know if anybody was the right person for this.
But what do you think is behind the Donald Trump machine, though? That's my...
I think we're getting to some of that. It's just that disenfranchisement of white men who feel like something has either been taken away from them. And I'm not saying this to demonize anybody. I'm saying there is clearly a culture of people, white or black, because, I mean, there were like 30% of the Hispanic vote went to Donald Trump. So clearly that kills
me inside.
Look at, you know, 53% of white college educated women voted for. So it's like there are so many splintered reasons here. But I think clearly Donald Trump, people saw in him or see in him something that he promised that even if somebody looked at him and said, well, I don't like these 30 other things that he's said or done, but he's promising me this, and that's what's important to me for my self-interest. And I think but in trying to figure that out on so many different levels to unify people for voting, we have a lot of work to do in the next 4 years.
Yes.
I have no idea what that looks like other than getting out there and trying to rebuild a party. You know that.
What do you think rebuilds the party, though? Because, and this is one thing that I heard recently. The part of it, I am discouraged with Hillary Clinton because of this. If this is true,
mm-hmm.
That because she wanted to be the candidate, so you know, mm-hmm. in the past elections, that she's kind of stifled other up and coming Democrats, and so they were trying to replace Nancy Pelosi, and there's nobody to replace her with because nobody likes Nancy Pelosi, but mm-hmm. they can't replace her with anyone because these up-and-coming Democrats have been stifled and kind of...
How would Hillary Clinton have stifled people, though, that are that down sort of the
ticket?
I'm just
telling you what I heard.
Well, I'm asking you to give me something more than just what you heard, though. I mean...
Because it's, you know, I listen to MSNBC, and this is one thing that was... And I don't know how she stifled those
That's
people.
That's what I'm just asking. Like, how did she stifle?
I don't know how.
Okay.
But so I was just giving you something to talk. Boy, you are mad at me about that.
I'm not mad at you. I'm just questioning. I think, you know, I know that Hillary Clinton is clearly not a perfect candidate. And clearly something did not work because she didn't win. And clearly some of the blame, if not a lot of it, has to go to her campaign and how she campaigned. But I think that saying that it is entirely her fault is missing. I think if we focus on that, then we're looking at another 4 years after this. And I mean, we're not going to make any progress if we don't figure it out on a deeper level. Mm-hmm. And I don't think putting the blame on one candidate is the answer.
No, it's not putting the blame on her. I just feel like...
Because I wonder what they would have done, you know, if Bernie had been the candidate. You know, Donald Trump has... some serious echoes of anti-Semitism. So, mm-hmm. I've heard in my reading and my you know, listening to newscasts that they had a whole, you know, they had like stacks of stuff to, if he was going to be the candidate, like that they were gonna, like they had like a book essentially, like sort of symbolically of like, if he's the candidate, this is how we're gonna take him on. So I think that it could have been just as ugly, just as divisive. I don't know.
Yeah, I've actually, my cousin and I, we just recently talked about this. We're not, we've always really enjoyed reality television, but now we feel like we're part of the problem. That is actually what brought us Donald Trump.
Oh, God. Well, there's that.
No, yeah. I mean, seriously.
No, like, I know. I mean, it's so, like, we created this monster.
Yeah.
I mean, I probably saw at least a few episodes of The Apprentice. I never liked that show, but you know, I watched it and I knew who he, I mean, I've known who Donald Trump is for a long time.
Mm-hmm. So it's not that we're part of the problem, but we don't want to be a part of the problem any longer.
I know, absolutely not.
So, but we decided, because we don't want to stop watching Teen Mom. We've decided that Teen Mom is not reality television. It's not part of the problem. It's kept the teen pregnancy rate low.
All right.
We're okay with that.
That's cool.
But like, you know, Housewives, all those things, this is part of the culture that brought us Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. It's a culture that doesn't actually know what is real anymore.
It's the culture. It's a celebrity culture.
To be honest, celebrity culture is exactly what brought us Donald Trump. So if you're talking about like not all the blame being on Hillary, you're right. Of course, not all the blame is on one person. I'm saying her campaign lost. It was not a successful campaign.
I agree.
No matter what, I agree with you there. They would have won if they were successful.
Yeah,
but this celebrity culture is what brought us Donald Trump, thinking that somebody like him can do the job. Now, granted, Ronald Reagan was a celebrity, but he
had also been governor of California. I mean, when he became president, it was not his first rodeo. I mean, Donald Trump, apparently, you know, his first meeting with Obama, and it's like, oh shit, this what?
Do you love, did I send you that picture? Is this like a stunned Donald Trump after that meeting?
Yeah.
And it's like, when you're deciding how to build a space wall.
Yeah, it's like, it's hilarious, except for the part where it's real life.
Well, I know, I can't even imagine what that must have been like for Donald Trump. This person has no...
He has no clue. And what I love is just like all the reports that I've heard is that Obama is just like, pulls no punches and just like, I think like, just overloaded him with information in that 90 minutes to the point that like Donald Trump walks out like stunned and like almost speechless. It's like, well, no shit. What did you think that you were signing up for?
Did you hear that speech recently Obama gave about he's basically, I'll give you my summary, that the being the president is really, really hard. And if you don't really want that job, you're not going to succeed and you won't last. He gave the speech after meeting with him. So that's kind of telling. Like,
a little shade there.
Oh, not a little. That's like, in president land, he basically called him out. Yeah. Like, asked him to go outside.
Yeah. <Mine too. laughs>
That was basically like Fight Club talking.
Oh, my God. Speaking of which, I think I told you this, but one of the few things that has gotten me through the week or so, week and a half since the election, are all the Joe and Barack memes.
Oh my God.
That is like the one thing that has like made me a happy person. Some of them have brought me to tears.
A little shining ray of hope. Yeah. I know. You know what's so funny? Let me ask you that. Oh, sorry to bring it back down. Because do you think that Joe Biden would have been successful?
I don't know. Because Joe Biden has had, I mean, I don't think he has I know he doesn't necessarily have the heavy baggage that Hillary had with her. But a lot of people, I mean, he's definitely known for kind of all his gaffes and just sort of like foot in his mouth statements. Yeah. I don't know. I mean,
I think he could have gotten the blue collar voter in Michigan.
Probably. Yeah.
Because I know you just automatically assume that I'm telling you, somehow you have it in your mind that I'm saying that Bernie would have been the best candidate and that Hillary lost because Bernie should have been the candidate. Mm-hmm. That's not it at all. I honestly think Joe Biden probably could have been a better candidate than both of them.
Possibly.
I do think, though, if we're going to talk about momentum and energy, Bernie Sanders had that, and that could have been what could have taken over Trump, but we'll never know because mm-hmm. we never got there.
Yeah.
So I just...
I don't want to dig this into the ground, but I mean, like, regardless, there are still things about Bernie's platform that I didn't like and didn't agree with, so I don't know. I mean,
but do you agree with everything Hillary stands for?
No, but I also, there's reasons why I voted for Hillary over Bernie. So it just kind of goes back to that. And there are reasons why I think, you know, Joe Biden would have probably been great. And there probably would have been reasons why I would have thought he wouldn't have been great. So there's just not, I think I'm, more than anything, I'm getting just to this idea where people kind of wanted this pure political candidate. You know, a lot of people talking about Elizabeth Warren, or, you know, I think Jill Stein kind of brought that out in a lot of people. And it's just like, whether it's Hillary or Bernie or whoever, it's like, I expect my politicians to be flawed and to have made mistakes, because that's how you learn and grow. And that's how you become a better person. Making mistakes.
Wait, so then Donald Trump is a really good person?
He's
then.
Awesome. He's going to be great.
He's the goodest.
Except, although if you look at, like, you know, however long the candidacy was, here's somebody who made mistakes throughout that entire election process. And I can think of one time that he apologized for one of his mistakes. One time he moved forward and actually issued an apology. So, yeah, no, I don't think that we're looking at somebody who... Mistakes are a different...
Yeah.
Mistakes don't really exist in his world.
I just want a president that we could have called Uncle Joe. Like, I really think about that.
Don't we all?
Uncle Joe is our president. That would have been great. Yeah. I think people probably could have gotten behind him, maybe. I think he could have stood a chance. I don't know.
Could have, should have,
Donald Trump wrecking ball did to our country, but it's funny because it like started fights with me and my. I'm not trying to call out my husband here, but my husband's family, they are primarily Donald Trump supporters.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing, you know, how progressive Bobby is, it's interesting that he comes from that. Because it's not just, he's probably the only one in his family that is not a Republican. And I know, like, it kind of caused a little fight between his stepmother and me. Or not a fight, but just, you know,
a little,
uncomfortable dialogue. But it's one of those things where this is the first time in my life where I've actually felt comfortable talking to people, or I guess what I'm trying to say is that I've been so upset and so scared that I'm not as concerned about being polite as I have
been
in
the
past.
Yeah. Same here. I'm definitely, this election, for better or worse, has definitely put me in a place of, I'll be polite, but mm-hmm. I'm not going to just let somebody say something that I think is wrong or hateful, or not saying your family was hateful, you know, Dobby's family, but just in general, like if I hear things that I think are just not true, whatever, I'm so beyond the point of just kind of making small talk with people about it.
Just
like, there's too much at stake. We've seen how much is at stake now.
I have a few things. Okay, first, we probably should talk about something nice soon, but
okay.
At the end of, let's get to the end of the
okay,
crap
okay,
here.
Okay, sorry guys, sorry. This
I know
is a
this is like purge night. I know, seriously, this is, we haven't had a chance to talk about this yet.
No, other than like I think you and I had one real life conversation, but we've mostly texted about it.
Yeah, and texting doesn't. And plus, those texts, I've been really drunk when we've texted. I'll be honest. Well, so that brings me to this, because I want to ask you, like, what do people need to do? Like, I've thought about ways to mobilize people and things to do, but all I've come up with so far is drinking.
Drinking is good. I think drinking is a good start. Drinking is a really good start because it allows your brain to sort of relax and kind of. So whatever your choice of. Mental in like imbibing is, I think, you know, that we should allow ourselves to indulge that. I also think indulging in self-care is really important. We have to physically take care of ourselves physically to make sure that we're strong and that we don't just beat ourselves into the ground. So whatever that is for you. Beyond that, I think for me anyway, these are the steps that I've kind of looked at that I want to take. I feel like I've been too complacent in the past. Mm-hmm. So for starters, the quickest, fastest thing I could do was set up monthly donations to causes that I think are going to need help more than ever. So for me, that was the ACLU, Planned Parenthood, and the Southern Poverty Law Center. So I'm like, even if I can only donate like 10 or 15 bucks a month to each organization, these are the places that I think are going to do the heavy lifting for us during the next 4 years. One thing that I have been trying to be part of this week is making phone calls to senators and representatives to register complaints about, like, to register my concern about somebody like Steve Bannon being put in the White House, or Jeff Sessions, or any of these other names that are being floated as a possible appointees. So
Satan. Did they talk about Satan being chief of staff?
Yes. This is I'm calling for Senator Doris Matsui, and I would like to express my concern about Satan.
Yes.
You know what I think, Paloma? I think we should probably maybe, I know people probably don't look at our Facebook page much, but we should maybe post something about, like, there's a friend of mine, Beth, she keeps posting this script, so to speak, of what you can say when you call your elected representative.
Okay. I think we absolutely should post that.
And she has said in her Facebook post, like, please copy and paste this. Don't even have to give me attribution. But this is like a really simple way to just have a dialogue with an elected representative. And here's, I'm making it super easy for you. So I think we should post that because it's been helpful for me. And she like includes like, here's exactly how to get in touch with them. You can also send I'm hearing that a lot of voicemail boxes are being filled up quickly because so many people are calling and they can't keep up with the volume, which is awesome. So you can also send emails. So that's one step, because I think the more voices that moderate and more moderate and liberal elected officials hear, the more that they will stand up and fight for what's right in Washington. So there's that. I just joined a local feminist Democratic organization. So you could like look up something in your own city. And then there's the march that we talked about doing in January, the day after the inauguration.
So there's also, I've seen a lot of videos, a couple videos of ways to approach things when you see somebody being attacked, like an anti-Islamic attack.
Right, how to be an ally to people.
Yeah, and it's really, you talk to that person, you redirect, you ignore the other person.
You ask that person if they're okay, engage them in a conversation to create a human shield, essentially, between you and the instigator.
But
and
it's
I think
so
that's
true.
So important. That's like real life shit there.
That will actually happen at some point.
As much as I've heard about increased incidence of harassment since the election, verbal harassment, for starters, I think we all absolutely cannot be afraid to step in and be an ally for somebody.
And so this is my contribution of things that we should do. You should strive to be the best person you can.
Absolutely.
You should strive to speak your mind, make sure you're doing the right thing. If you're always being your best and you're always doing what you think is, this is getting somewhere dirty, because some of those people think they are really doing what's right and they're really not. But if you're,
I'd say practice compassion and kindness and being an ally for other people. I mean, you can't underestimate how important kindness and compassion are.
Exactly.
Honestly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Doing what is right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because those are things that all of us can do every single day. We can wake up and be good people who do not dislike or hate or judge other people based on their the color of their skin or their gender or their religious affiliation or their sexual orientation or whatever. I mean,
and if you're a parent, also recognizing like what your responsibility is in raising this good person, making a good person who makes thoughtful decisions and treats people well. And then also, you know, realizing the things that you do in your daily life that maybe aren't the best things, like habits you've had, things that you say or do that you don't really realize are harmful.
Yeah. I think there's, I think this is a time, I don't want to get all hippy dippy shit, but you know, it's a time.
But what the heck?
But what the heck? I've had two glasses of wine. This is a time for some deep, deep, deep self-reflection for all of us.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, this is why I have a hard time putting the blame on any one particular thing. I think we all have a lot of work to do to make this country better and to make it better. Not just for liberal people, but for conservative people, because we all have conservative people in our lives who, whom we love and who may, you know, that's the thing. When I hear people or when I see people on Facebook or in my own circles say, you know, my conservative relative who voted for Trump is dead to me, I'm like, no, I, you know, if I can have a conversation with somebody and rationally explain why I feel the way I feel and then hopefully listen as to why that person feels the way they feel, maybe we get a little bit closer to a center that is better for everybody. I don't know. I mean, it's, I'm not talking about showing compassion and and listening to somebody who screams, you know, slurs or draws a swastika somewhere. I'm not talking about that. Let's just be really clear. Like there's no room at the, but if you have a relative who you think at his or her very core is a good person.
I think you and I are both in a similar situation. We are. I'm not going to name any names.
Neither of us are going to, but we both have people in our lives who
actually
we
care. Same exact type of relative in our
lives. We both have people in our lives whom we care about very much, and we both know as beyond, we know those people as more than just stereotypes.
Yeah.
And so it makes it complicated, but it also, gives me hope that conversations can be had.
Can we all, there, I think you and I have a responsibility to people. Can I tell you what it is?
Yes, ma'am.
I think that our next episode should maybe, well, for one, I need to be more coherent. For two, maybe we need to talk about something fun or happy.
Oh God, yes.
Because I feel like this is part of the thing. Yes, we are scared, we are sad, we are angry, but what is that? We also need to take time.
Here's the thing. This is our first episode post-election, though. And here's the thing. I'm probably going to be angry for a good 4 years, but I want to channel that anger into something good. And so I hope to also channel that anger into something more fun.
Hopefully creativity will come from adversity. Yeah,
but we are still... I'm still in the face-punching stage of grief, so...
I've not gotten to face-punching.
Let me tell you. You're going to get there.
I don't think I go to angry. I think I go to sad and scared. Ooh. But one thing I will tell you, speaking of self-care, is, you know, there's this analogy when you're a parent for, when you're in an airplane and the oxygen mask drop.
You put on
the mommy first, or parent, excuse me.
Sorry, Dad.
Parent first, then you can care for your child.
Right.
And so my cousin, the night of the election, she was, I'll just say it, she's probably wigging out, right?
As we all were.
And her son was reacting the same way. And her husband pulled her aside and he's like, look, you know, you can't do this. You got to.
And that's a good point.
You're creating this energy, making him upset.
Yeah.
But my cousin, this is why I love my cousin. She's like, no, this is the oxygen mask. It was her form of self-care. She had to react and whatever.
And I'll say this, you know what? Her kids, I don't know if they appreciate it now, but at some point, they are going to appreciate her passion and the deep level of how she felt that.
Because I feel like Bobby would have reacted the same way had I been doing that.
Yeah.
And actually, he did, to be honest with you. I haven't thought enough about that night to remember, but we had a lot going on in our lives. Yeah. Our daughter was just in the hospital that week. We needed some time. But I think he probably would have reacted similarly to my cousin's husband. But I feel like there are times where, you know what, your kids need to know that shit's going down.
That's what I'm saying. It's like your kids, I mean, I think there's a line there, like a fine line that you walk, but your kids need to know that you're invested and you have a deep, deep, deeply held beliefs about something.
Mommy and daddy react the same to every situation in front of you, you're not going to know how to react when things are wrong.
Yeah.
And this is wrong. For me, this is wrong. Things are bad. That night was horrible. It was like this dark cloud just descended upon us, and it was like,
and I, you know what, I agree with that, because when I was growing up, my mom really didn't discuss politics with me, and she made a point of, to some degree I appreciate this, she made a point of saying, you know, you go into that the polling station, you go and you vote, and your vote is, you don't have to tell anybody how you voted, it's your freedom. And so she would always emphasize that, and so I appreciated sort of that independent spirit that she that she advocated for, but then she also never wanted to talk about politics. So I never knew, like, what was...
Wait, that's mysterious. I don't like that.
Right. You know, and I mean, I know how she's skewed politically, but there weren't a lot of discussions that we had. We've had more discussions now, but as a kid, I don't know if she didn't want to influence me too deeply.
Which is noble.
I don't know. But I sometimes wish that, like, at least when I was in high school, that maybe we had had deeper conversations about things, okay. You know.
Rachel, should we just stop this now? Should we just be done?
Do we have anything good to...
I don't know if we have... Oh, my child has been drawing grumpy potatoes. That's all I got.
Grumpy potatoes.
That's so funny, though. But yeah, she draws grumpy potatoes.
She does, actually.
Tons of them.
Yeah. Does she have a fascination with... potatoes?
I don't know where it came from. I have no idea, but I just like it. I love it. And she drew a Trump one the other day, which was funny. I don't know how that happened, but
her subconscious.
You know what's so funny is the night of the election, we were watching it, and it was early on in the election when I got this, like, all of a sudden I saw, like, Trump wins 3 states. I'm like, oh, that's surprising. Okay. And I my tummy started to get that feeling, like, oh, something's not right. You know what feeling? Yeah. I mean, like, your instincts kick in, like, oh, this isn't good.
The plane is hurtling towards the ocean.
But it was so funny because then Rosalie turns to Bobby and I, and she's like, "Mommy, Donald Trump told me I could vote for Hillary Clinton."
Did she really?
Yeah, because I know she just hears all these funny things and, you know, comes up with her own idea of the world. But it was so funny to hear that. I'm like, oh, did he now?
Did he really?
Well, I wish you would have.
Yeah. Why didn't you go and ring the vote, Rosalie?
Well, I think California was pretty well taken care of. Yeah. Oh, wait, we didn't even get to talk about Calexit. I wanted to talk about
Calexit. You want to talk about Calexit?
We don't have time, Rachel. God, we don't have time for this.
But, okay, pro or anti Calexit?
Well, that's my thing. If you had asked me before Donald Trump was president, I was an anti. That is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of. Although I do think there should be Northern and Southern California.
Agreed.
But yeah. I never would I have said that California should be its own nation. No. I don't know that my belief system matters anymore.
I don't know. I'm still...
I mean, why not? You know what? The rest of the country kind of makes fun of us. If you don't want us, fine. Because guess what? We have the fifth largest economy in the world.
Tell you what, fuck off. I'm going to be a swing vote on that Calexit. As somebody who's from Texas. I'm torn. I'm like, although here's the thing. I'm on election night, I was ready to break up with my home state.
Oh, yes.
I was ready to be like, we are never looking at each other again. Like, I'm done with you, Texas.
Even Austin,
I'm done with you guys.
Yep.
And that made me sad.
Yeah, I know.
It's, not that I was surprised, but, you know, it still made me sad.
But it is interesting because when I saw it, I did put my email address. Like, I requested more information. I was curious. But I just, that's not the solution. The solution is to be a united America and to make things good here and fight for what you believe in. Although you've seen, like, the people that are talking about accepting the election and they're using their Confederate flag as part of their protest. Like, accept this election because we didn't.
Yeah.
Interesting.
No.
Huh. Okay.
That's going to be a long 4 years.
Yeah, I feel tired.
Me too.
I hope people listening don't feel as tired as we do.
I know. I hope people still listen.
I know. Next time we'll be happier, I promise.
We'll try.
We'll give it our best.
We will.
Let's do something fun in the next week so that we have something like
good to bring back to
people.
We're going to try and not be... There's enough downers.
Yeah, there's more than enough downers. Let's take some uppers.
Okay. Well, I did get my medical marijuana card.
Oh, that's nice. Except it's not an upper, though.
I know. But it's a relaxer.
Yeah. Who cares?
If you
want
to talk about self-care.
Oh,
I barely even had to ask my doctor. I think he was just handing them out. Like, the day that I went in, he was just like, and you get one, and you get one, and you get one.
I wanted to ask my doctor, but...
I was so nervous about asking mine. I swear to God, I was so nervous. Like, I felt like I was like, so, hey, what about the... Like, I was so nervous. And I was like, you know, because I can't sleep. And he was like, oh, yeah. Okay, hold on a second.
Okay, well, so here's my thing. My doctor, I was trying to get Xanax, right? Because I'm like, all I need is 5 Xanax a month. Because there is this 1 week a month where shit's not good.
Yeah.
Like, fix me, doctor. He's like, well, what are you doing for it now? I'm like, oh, I take Benadryl or Dramamine. He's like, yeah, that's probably good.
You're
like, no! Did you hear what I just said? You're supposed to say that is not how you treat that. Let me help you out. So that's why I don't think he's the guy to go to.
Okay.
Because he's going to be like, well, would you like to take
some? I do have a pretty great doctor, so that's something for me to be happy about in this world.
Mine
for
would
now.
Be like, take some Tylenol PM. Call it a night early.
I'll hook you up.
Thanks. All right, guys.
All right.
That's it.
Good Girls Don't was engineered by Bobby Jordan and Paloma Jordan.
I pressed some buttons.
Yeah. Good job.
Thanks.
It was produced by Paloma Jordan and Rachel LeBrock.
We're producers.
Yeah. Child care services provided by Bobby Jordan and Corey Vick.
They're doing a good job based on what
I've
heard.
They are, from what I can hear. Catering provided by Paloma Jordan.
Yay!
Yummy. It was perfect on a rainy night. And essentially, this episode was brought to you by a lot of rage.
At the downfall of the United States.
The apocalypse.
Yeah.
Grumpy potatoes.
Grumpy potatoes.
And boxed wine.
Thank you, Box. You know
Thank
what?
You, boxed wine.
Boxed wine is a real MVP. I mean, seriously.
I mean, really. That boxed wine is going to get us through the next 4 years like nobody's business. Let's buy stock.
They need to make bigger boxes. All I'm saying.
Like a big, just like giant U-Haul moving box.
Love you, Target.
Stick a tab in it. Tap in it.
Yeah, let's
do it. Next business opportunity. All right. Good night, you guys.
Bye.
Bye.